time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's a great day for a couple reasons. It's Friday, and also I got to assist Landry Brewer this morning on the early morning show because Nathan's been requested to take some time away from the station. I don't know why, but you'll have to talk to him about it. But with that hour and this hour and my ag updates, it totals up to more minutes than Bandy Silk has on the radio now. So anyway, I got him today, so I got more time on the radio. Anyway, it is warm. It is 98 degrees at the Elk City Mezzanet, and it's 97 degrees heat index. Humidity is 25%. Hope you got your hay baled up this morning. It was perfect this morning, 70%. South-southwest winds at 20 miles an hour, the gust up to 26. And at the Gabe Gadget up here in front of me at the station, it's currently 96.6 degrees, 26% humidity. Let's take a look around and see who the hottest is. Dang. Altus, 100 degrees. Hollis, 100 degrees. Eric's at 100 degrees. Ah, Altus and Camargo beat them out. They're at 101. And way up there north of Woodward in Buffalo, it's 102. It's just going to be a hot day. Wheeler has Shamrock's right at 100. But let's take a look at some markets real quick. Let's start out with the livestock. I got State Representative Anthony Moore is going to come on with us here in just a few minutes and talk about some of the ag bills that they got passed and was working on this last year, and talk to him about some stuff. If you got any questions you want me to ask Mr. Moore, you're more than welcome to text in at 580-225-9697. Keep it ag related, please. Live cattle, June 135.55, August 133.57, October 139.82, and December 145.27 on live cattle. Feeder cattle, 172.45 for August, 174.82 for September. Is that right? Yep. And lean hogs, July 110.72, August 106.72, October 92.37. Let's take a quick gander at the Oklahoma cash grain prices. As of an hour ago, if it'll cooperate with me here, you got to punch the arrow twice. There you go. Hard red winter wheat, $9.42. Corn's at $8.22. Milo's at $7.50. And soybeans is at $15.14. And that's cash grain prices in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. Well, let's see what was causing all the ruckus here. I got it here somewhere. I did have it here somewhere. Anyway, I've lost it. Anyway, we're going to make this in a little short, and then we're going to get Mr. Moore on the phone with us and talk to him a little bit and answer some questions due to the ag bills that they had this last year and what's coming up this coming year and finishing up the year with it and see what's happening, how they're treating the agriculture industry. So anyway, when I get back, we'll be talking to Mr. Anthony Moore. State Representative Anthony Moore will be on here just shortly. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than what I was, some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn. And so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently 98 degrees, 97 degrees heat index. Winds are getting it at south-southwest at 19 miles an hour. Just perfect to go out to the lake and learn how to ski on. White caps are good. Well, on the phone with me right now is State Representative Anthony Moore. Welcome to the Today in Ag show, sir.
Boy, thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be on. You know, I get a lot of those exploring energy guys in the morning. It's nice to be on with you and talk some agriculture.
Oh, yeah. Well, I listen to you all the time when Sean and Butch have you on, and you're a great participant, by the way. So.
Well, I don't know about that, but I sure appreciate it. I enjoy being on. I've known Sean for decades.
Oh, yeah. So
it's always a good time, for sure.
All I can tell you is I'm glad there's only one Sean Wilson at this radio station.
Well, I think the world is probably.
Well, yeah. I was trying to be nice. So.
Well, maybe I should be nicer. You're probably right.
No, you're good. Well, what all you have you guys up there at the state capitol? What's been going on in the ag world up there?
Well, obviously pretty busy. You know, I'm an oil and gas attorney and real property attorney by trade, so I focus a lot on agriculture in my business. And so it's kind of an area that I've been able to really focus in and help property owners, which is, you know, mostly farmers and ranchers up there. And so we've been able to do quite a bit. You know, we got $10 million in CARES Act funding distributed to 195 meat processors to try to help expand and create new businesses. To increase capacity and, you know, mitigate shutdowns.
That's awesome.
Through the COVID, so that's a big deal. In 2021, because our session is 2 years, we appropriated funds to get five new inspectors for the Department of Ag, and we worked at five more in 2022, so trying to speed up the process to allow producers to get their product to market more quickly. You know, we created the Oklahoma Certified Beef Labeling Program, and made sure that, you know, people weren't misusing that. They can't, unless their product was bred, born, raised, and slaughtered in Oklahoma, it can't get that label. And so we also passed in 22 the Oklahoma Certified Meat to include swine, goats, lamb, poultry, fish, things like that.
And that seems like that's a big thing. That's a big topic, not only in Oklahoma, but all over the nation about where it doesn't matter whether it's meat or whatever, where your food actually comes from, but especially meat.
It has been a very hot topic.
Yes.
And we want people to make sure, you know, Made in Oklahoma needs to stand for something. And so that Oklahoma Certified Beef and Oklahoma Certified Meat has that stamp on it, and people know, hey, this is local. You know, this has not been, any part of it was not outside the state of Oklahoma, which gives you some confidence in knowing, because we trust our brothers and sisters throughout the state to do it the right way, and we all know that that's really important to us, especially as we try to support our local economy.
Yeah, and it's a big plus because since COVID, prior to COVID, we've always there's been a certain percentage of people in Oklahoma, Texas, wherever, they like to buy their beef local, have it processed local, and then bam, COVID hit. And these meat processors around Oklahoma or all over the United States, to be honest with you, you know, they were booked up 6 months, a year in advance, even further. And you said earlier in your opening statement there about helping processors open up new processors, enlarge the ones that were already going, and it's made a world of difference.
It really has, and you know, I'm with you. We, you know, my mom and I own our family farm just on this side of Foss Dam, out by the lake, that my family's owned since 1931. We've got cattle out there, you know, and I know when I took mine to slaughter, you know, I had a date set in like February of 2020, and he said, "You better get on the boat for 21 now," you know, because it was, when I got to 21, I couldn't even get a date for 22 at that point. He was so bad, backed up. So, you know, it was a big issue. I was really excited. We just had a brand new certificate of occupancy issued to South Canadian Meat. Tim Thomas just opened a new one.
Is that the name of it? Cool. Yes. Thank you for telling me that, because I keep hearing Thomas, and I never did hear the name.
South Canadian Meat, and it's just south of WW Steel on Highway 54.
Oh, cool. Thomas. Great. Good. I'll have to start mentioning, because I push it a lot on my show, probably till people's like, "Shut up, Jimmy. We know all these people out here anyway." But you know, and I hate to harp or preach on it or whatever, but I'm so big, and because we have a lot of good slaughter houses, and if you want to process and plants, and you know, the new one that opened up over at Sayre, we got Shones's and Canoe, we got Keith's Butcher Shop, and Burns Flat
and Elk,
and then we got the one at Weatherford, and it's just, and we got them and then we got Quartz Mountain and Altus, and we got a few right across the state line in Shamrock and in Wheeler, and it's just, I'm not mentioning them all. Bex and Canute opened up. The Butcher Block. So anyway, they're just.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's really awesome that they're doing this, because one thing, not only do we know where we can take it, but people that buy local beef from people like the Taylor Ranch, the Delps, and whoever, you know, they buy them from me too. You know, they know what they're getting, and it's just wonderful. It that keeps the economy, the money in our area.
Sure, and that's what we want. Is we want it to be, you know, cyclical, where it's funneling around here, and if we take it out, it doesn't come back. Those bigger companies, you know, outside of Western Oklahoma, aren't pouring a lot back in, especially in this market, in this arena. So we want to make sure to keep those funds here, because all those people that you named, you know, I mean, gosh, the Taylor Ranch has supported Western Oklahoma for, you know, decades.
Yeah.
And so being able to make sure to say, hey, we can take that locally, we can buy that locally, and then that money's going back into Western Oklahoma economy that is going to help the Taylors, and they're going to, you know, I mean, and everyone else, not just them, but everyone, and then we just kind of keep cycling around and help, you know, that rising tide lift all ships.
Yeah, and it's just like over here at Sayre, you know, the Hickey Ranch over here with Brandon and them got going on, you know, their family opened the Route 66 process. Part of their family opened that down there, and they got family operation going on. And I don't know if you know this, but they just got approved here a while back, and they're USDA certified now.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. That's awesome.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
So I'd throw that bone out there for you to let you know about that there's actually somebody West Oklahoma City or South Enid that's got this USDA, and it's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, so there, but we just got a lot of good people running stuff around here. If you're just joining me, I got State Representative Anthony Moore on here, and we're talking agriculture on the Today in Ag Show. Where is your guys laying there by Foss Dam, out of curiosity?
We're just a quarter mile behind the dam where the Washita River comes out. And the first road it crosses over onto us.
Oh, okay.
My I mean, so we're right behind the dam. Ouachita River and Butler Creek meet on our property there.
I know exactly where it is. I didn't know that. I used to work for the Pitzers out of Foss, and that was my I took that road back to get around to the other side of the river over there by Stafford to go over there to that alfalfa field and cut that hay over there. So I know exactly where you're at.
Yeah, the Pitzers farmed our land for a long time. Keith Pitzer's a good friend of my granddad's forever.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, he started doing that after I moved back to the oil field. And so, what was the doctor's name that had the land just north of you guys that was from Clinton? You remember?
A doctor. I don't remember a doctor, no. I'll tell you, speaking of people that rent, the Butlers. Butler Ranch used to run cattle on and farm our spot for a long time, too, back in the 2000s. And so.
Okay. Well, I'm talking back in the 80s. So.
I was born in 82, so don't get me lying.
Okay, I won't. Well, maybe I've seen you run around out in the front yard in your diaper. Who knows?
So, I was the kid in the back of the truck trying to throw every little piece of hay out.
So anyway,
my granddad thought I was great because my OCD made sure I didn't leave any behind.
That's awesome. Well, there's what is working right now in the ag world at the state capitol?
Well, a lot of the things, we hear a lot of, you guys hear a lot about what happens. What you don't hear about is what doesn't happen. There are a lot of things, trying to attack property owners and, trying to fend off people that are trying to attack that. There's been a lot made about, a bill that I introduced that says, the rumor mill is that it was trying to increase taxes or make it harder for people to fight if the taxes were increased. And actually, it was the exact opposite. I think whoever's saying that just doesn't either comprehend it or just unfortunately, we live in an age of misinformation.
Yes.
And so we are, what I was trying to do was make it where, what that bill said was the other side gets to have an expert in there and you don't. And so I was trying to make sure that you're protected if you're, if your property values are going up. The other thing that we're really focused on, obviously, is marijuana. We're trying to get a handle on medical marijuana issues. We've passed a multifaceted approach to get rid of the illegal marijuana grows and distributions while also focusing on product safety and health for the people that are doing it the right way. So, our job is delivering on what the people voted for when they approved it. And I know it didn't get passed out here. It didn't pass any county out here, but it did pass the state of Oklahoma. But we're trying to create a safe, legal, free market that's appropriately regulated. We are not trying to, and have no interest in passing recreational marijuana. So what we're trying to do is provide Oklahomans with a structured, legal medical marijuana industry that they voted for. Even though it didn't pass out here, it did become law, but we want to give them what they voted for, not what they got. Because what they got was a big bag of cats that's been released out. And I've knocked a lot of doors out there and want to make sure that they are, I've seen all those grow houses everywhere, and they need to be cracked down on. They need stricter regulation, and we need to make sure that it's structured fairly, because we want the people that are doing it the right way to be able to do it safely and legally. But we also need to crack down, and we've done a lot to crack down so far, and we're going to continue. I expect that will be an issue going forward for several years to crack down on the illegal operations and distributions.
Yeah, that's I know people that have grow houses, and all of them, the ones that I know, are just doing it right. They've got good solid buildings and they do it right, they follow the regulations. But then you got these other ones, and
they're the ones who are getting hurt the worst. That's the sad part. They're local Oklahomans that are investing their hard-earned money into a legal operation, and they're the ones that are getting unfairly hit by some of the over-regulation. So that's why I say it's very important that we crack down on it in the correct way, because we want to extinguish the illegal growth and the illegal distributions while not punishing the people that are trying to do it the right way. You know, it's those out-of-state entities that have come in that we all know where they are at, that we need to get.
Yeah, we can tell.
The OMMA, the Medical Marijuana Authority, we've worked with them to really start cracking down on those. We've, you know, got 45 or 50 new inspectors that are really helping, and it just can only go so fast. But I saw an email last week that was talking about, you know, several, I mean, we've got 1,000 less licenses than we did a couple months ago. And so we're going the right direction.
Oh, good.
And we put a moratorium on licenses for a while because we have all the licenses we can need in the world at the moment. And that, you know, I think that takes effect in November 1, so people that still want to get one can get one. But after that, it'll give a brief hiatus for us to try to get cats back in the bag and get the legal system under control.
Yeah, there's, because out here in Western Oklahoma, and it's made it really difficult, I think, in the ag world, and this is just my personal opinion, not my business opinion, but it's made it really hard out here because now you have a lot of your ag industries that you used to come out and fertilize and spray your pastures, your wheat ground. And it's the farmers or the ag industries' job to keep that drift on their own land anyway, but you know, things do happen and it's out here.
And all of a sudden you've done it for decades and you've got a place next to you that's got fans internally bringing that in. And
exactly.
That's not something that you've ever had to worry about. And sadly, you can't, you know, some of them you can. You can go work with your neighbor, but a lot of those guys don't want to speak to you and don't, you know, and they say, you know, and I've heard bad stories about, you know, people being told, no, you're not going to spray, and I'm going to come over and stop you if you do, type of deal. And that's, we're good neighbors in Western Oklahoma. We try hard, and our agricultural industry leads the way in that, in being a good neighbor. You know, my granddad wouldn't do anything working on a fence or whatever without talking to his neighbors, and
exactly.
That's what he taught me. And, you know, we live in a world where that's kind of gone the other way, but that's not changed in the agriculture industry, and we've got to try to figure out how to, you know, work with that industry and say, listen, we're not trying to shut you down, but we also have a right to farm our land like we've done for decades too.
Exactly. And that's one of the issues. And I think one of the things you guys at the state capitol could help us with is maybe with the OMA that you guys can maybe get a building code going, because a lot of these already look like abandoned refugee camps, and I'm sorry, that's just what they look like.
And think about it. You know, if you and I are going to go start a feed yard next week, we have to have 3 separate inspections and 3 licenses before we can ever open.
Yep.
Now, these things just go open up, and there's, you know, I mean, it's a whole different deal. So just trying to be, equal across the board and how we treat people is really important, you know. So we want to make sure that we're not doing something that's going to unduly burden people, but we also want to make sure that not just anybody who has no idea what they're doing can come do something that's going to be ingested. You know, I mean, our beef industry is overly regulated too, and so it needs to be. We need to think about treating people equally across the board.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Everybody needs to be equal, like you said earlier. You know, we have good people out here that are doing it the right way, and now they're burdened with extra stuff just because of the bad business people, and however you want to say that. But there's they need to, you know, those people got a business to run, and they put their, you know, either their livelihood or made a great big investment that cost them.
Oh, sure.
And
I don't want to over-regulate them and make it to where they don't get to continue going forward. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm proud to have, you know, obviously, you know, there's a campaign going on. I'm not trying to get into the campaign talk here, but that's why I have the support of guys like Jimmy Taylor and Monty Tucker and the Havens and the Lucases. You know, that's why, you know, and the Chalfants out there, you know, lots of families that have been there for decades are going to be there for generations more. But also, you know, that's why I'm supported, and you know, by Cattlemen Association. That's why I'm endorsed by AFR and Farm Bureau, is because we've got to have someone that understands it, boots on the ground, that's been there, that fights the right way, that protects us, but doesn't do it in a way that's trying to take out good industry, because we want to help the people that are doing it the right way, but we need to stop the people that are obviously the bad actors.
Right. And so...
And it's a tough line to walk sometimes. You know?
Yeah, it could. I can see it. And these inspectors they've just put on, like you said, I actually know some of them, and they're making a difference.
Well, and that's our job, you know, to make a difference day at a time. And it's never going to be fast enough, right, for everybody.
It's never going to be fast.
But it's impossible when you get all those cats out of that bag to jump that back in, you know, right away. So we just got to keep going strong and trust the process. You know, I mean, think about, you know, I sound like Sam Presti from the Thunder all of a sudden, but trust the process, one day at a time, one step at a time, one action at a time, and we're going to get it where it needs to be. Unfortunately, we had a law that got passed by state question that was written by out-of-state attorneys intentionally creating a hot mess.
They did. My cousin out in New Mexico, he'd already warned me. He said, them things got ran out of this state and are heading your way, Jimmy. And that's all he would say. So, well, I need to take a quick...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we need to take a quick break real quick. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation if you have time.
I'll stick around. Thanks.
All right. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 17th. 1,084 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 347 brought 203. 3 at 558 brought 171. 5 at 652 brought 172. 4 at 695 brought 160.50. 12 at 849 brought 147. 9 head of heifers at 288 brought 165. 7 at 398 brought 162.50. 8 at 479 brought 100. 5 at 557 brought 151. 5 at 633 brought 148. Butcher cows were 50 to 106.50. Butcher bulls brought 94 to 127.50. Bred cows were 925 to 1350. Pairs brought 550 to 1350. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. We have hit the century mark, 100 degrees even right here at the Elk City Mezzanette. And the winds are still out of the south-southwest at 20, gusting up to 27. On the phone with me right now is this State Representative Anthony Moore, and we're talking agriculture, and we've touched on everything that they've been working on, a little bit of everything they've been working on. We've touched on the grow houses, the marijuana industry in Oklahoma, which is part of the ag world in Oklahoma, and so we just make that. And welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoy this. It's nice to get to talk about agriculture. Obviously, it's it has been the economic driver for Oklahoma for, you know, over a century, and will continue to be so going forward. So with the inflation doing what it is, we've got to do everything we can to make sure keep it in a place where it can continue to, you know, provide, you know, we've got to provide relief for the hardworking citizens of our state that work in this area. Because, you know, I mean, there's not a day goes by that we don't need to think of farmer or rancher, because that's the only way we eat.
Yeah, they feed the world. And, you know, we got the Ukraine thing going on over there that's causing chaos every day with the market. It depends on whether Russia's going to let this ship out or not. It's just crazy what the markets do every the market's changing every 5 minutes. And it usually used to be steady. And this year was the grain markets, everything's really good, but the problem is we were in the middle of a drought, and northern Oklahoma had some success with the wheat market and a spot here and there if you didn't have irrigation did, but overall our harvest on the wheat was not great. But what do you tell farmers and ranchers as a state representative? What do you tell them? What do you want to tell them right now with our input costs so high? You know, like I said, our commodity markets is great, but the problem is we're not making nothing. And unless you got irrigation, obviously, but there's a lot, way more dry land out there than there is wet land. But what do you got to say for them? What do you got to say to give them hope?
Well, a few different things, because we need hope, right? I mean, nobody understands the power of prayer more than farmers. You know, I mean, I remember it was constant. You know, we're always praying one way or the other, you know, for something out here growing up, you know, on the farm. And so with inflation at a 40-year high, you know, we've passed multiple bills trying to provide tax relief, especially to our agriculture industry, you know, trying to look at ways to reduce taxes so more money is in your pocket, while also making sure that our ad valorem taxes are certain. Because that ad valorem, you know, people are worried, because ad valorem is always a target, right? You know, when we take away sources of steady income for the state to try to address inflation, we don't want to cause budget problems tomorrow, because I will not be raising ad valorem taxes. I want to make sure that we're protecting our, you know, agriculture, farm ranch industry, because if we start hiking that, you know, that ad valorem, it kills everyone. And you know, it'll do. You know, we can't have a death nail sent out here like that. So we just want to make sure to address inflation today without causing budget problems tomorrow. Another thing that I deal with in my personal life, you know, is water rights issues. You know, we all know, and that's another thing that the illegal grows side. You know, we all know how much water, you know, 80 gallons plus per plant a year or per cycle. You know, and so you've got 30,000 plants. Well, there's not a whole lot of extra water to be running around in that Ogallala aquifer out there. We've all worried about it for, you know, years. And so trying to make sure that our water supply is safe, because, you know, I've got friends that farm outside of Eric. One of my best friends, his, you know, in-laws farm outside of Eric. And all of a sudden, you know, they've had plenty of water, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Right.
They can't even do what they're allowed to do, much less, you know, they can't even get close to what their cap is. And so, you know, this year, I mean, they can't, you know, they had nothing. And so it's something that, you know, we just need to be good stewards of our resources. And that goes from everything, from our taxpayer dollars. We've got to steward that properly. We've been very methodical on how we've done that to provide relief to hardworking families in the agriculture industry, but also to make sure that we're set up for the future without budget problems. And we've got to do the same thing with our water supply. There's a reason that we have a system set up. I passed two bills this year addressing people that illegal use of water, because that's a big part of the agriculture industry. I think everybody would agree. One of the bills I passed actually gave some teeth to the OWRB, because if they came out and they found you were misusing water, you know what they did, Jimmy? They said, "Don't you do that, or I'm going to come back in a couple of weeks and tell you to quit doing that again." Well, we all, you know, anybody who has kids know that doesn't work. You know, you can try that once, but at some point you got to have a SWAT on the backside to realize a little bit more force behind it, right?
And yeah, so putting you in the corner doesn't always work.
No, yeah, yeah. Saying you quit that or else I'm going to tell you to quit that doesn't really scare anybody. And so we passed, you know, authored and passed legislation that went to the governor, and he signed it to give them some teeth to where they can start small, but they can go up to pretty big penalties per day, and they can file for an injunction with the court to stop you, and the court can order you to quit. And if you disobey that, then then you're in trouble with the court system, and that's when it becomes a whole other deal. And so giving them some teeth to be able to say, hey, we need to be able to hold you accountable while we figure this out, because we have a process that's correct. And the reason we do that is because we don't want to overuse the water.
Right.
Because we all know that my granddad said we're 24 hours away from the next drought cycle at any point in western Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, hey, but we're a day closer to fall today at 100 degrees.
We need it. Yeah. Well, June 24th, 100 degrees doesn't make you feel very good about July and August, I promise.
No, it doesn't. I'm a pretty optimistic person, and I try to tell it like it is. But, man, until we got that rain here about 6-7 weeks ago, I was kind of getting depressed myself.
Well, I'll tell you, I drove out that way and was knocking doors, early in May, and it was pretty yellow. And we got that rain, and I came back out towards the end of May, and it was sure prettier. It sure greened up a lot, and I know everybody was glad to have it. You talked about some families out there that I know pretty well. I was at the Black Hereford Ranch, and I was out at the Yorks, outside of Durham, and just making sure, it sure looks. I love that country. In my opinion, the prettiest part of the state of Oklahoma. You get out there in North Roger Mills County, and there's just nowhere prettier.
It's a different world, isn't it?
And you can just imagine the buffalo.
Oh, yeah. And you got to see it. You got to see a lot of the really green area that burnt during the Durham fire.
Yeah, I did. I was out there, and, I obviously worked hard on getting relief out that way. Worked with Governor Stitt and Mark Gower, his emergency personnel, to try to make sure and get support out there during the fire, and try to address some of the issues, because I knew what was going on with
you. You didn't get a few phone calls about air support, did you?
Oh yeah, I did. And I appreciate those, because that's my job, is to be your voice at the Capitol, and I can't be your voice if I don't know about it. And people would call me and say, well, I know you're not technically our representative yet. And I say, that doesn't matter. I am. How can I help?
Yeah, I put a burr under my saddle when I found out that the Texas Forestry Department had to come in and help them guys over there on the Durham fire, put that fire out, because we couldn't get air support. And I got mad on the radio one day, and I don't know if it was me, and it doesn't matter. It was repaired. The communication was repaired, because when the Berlin fire happened out here, and then the fires at Beaver, those helicopters were stationed at Woodward and Beaver, and when the Berlin fire started, they were stationed at Weatherford, and I'm pretty sure they beat the fire departments to that fire at Berlin, and we're all happy now. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we've had some communication, and I do plan. I talked to two of the fire chiefs actually this week about, after the election's over, after things calm down, sitting down with Mark Gower and saying, hey, we need to work on this process. We need to streamline the efficiency here. And we need to understand, why is it that sometimes that air support isn't given right away? Because, out here, we don't have, when it gets out there, especially when the winds are up, we've got to have it immediately, or it can, it can take out, sections in a hurry. So we just got to make sure to streamline that process. We're going to have a sit down and just kind of make sure that we understand what's expected of us and how we can better communicate, because that's what it's all about, right? If you can't communicate, then you're
communication is a big plus. And if you're just joining us, or you've been listening, Mr. Anthony Moore is on the phone with me, and we're talking We're on the politics side of the agriculture world, but it's important. There's got to be politics, and one of the biggest industries in the, Oklahoma. There's other things besides oil fill in Oklahoma, I promise you, because I've worked in both of them. And okay. Another thing you can touch on after the election, if you don't mind, sit down when you're talking about air support and stuff like that. Find out what we can do for these, because 95% of our firefighters west to Oklahoma City is all volunteer. And we got people in this year, they've had some pretty big years, but this year was an exception. And those guys are, you know, all got regular jobs. Most of them are farmers and ranchers also. But how we could help subsidize some pay for those guys, because they got to take personal leave to go fight fires. And we need them. That's the bottom line. We got to have them.
Yeah, we can't do it without them.
And
they're absolutely vital, and the service that they provide is, you cannot thank those folks enough that leave their day job, you know, the job that they actually feed their family with, to go fight fires to protect us. And so that's been a big focus on making sure to protect them. Some of the bills that were, and that's again some of the things that you don't hear about, there were some bills that would have been really detrimental to them, and trying to make sure to protect our volunteer fire departments and provide more for them has been a big focus for the last 2 years, and will be going forward, because we have most of my district is volunteer.
Oh yeah. Big time, we got, they've had some really, really good response to fundraisers, to raise money for each county, whether it's an individual station or the whole county fire association, and it's been great. And because I love my farmers and ranchers, but I also love my volunteer firemen too, because when that grass is on fire, that's that farmer and rancher's livelihood right there.
Well, and that's for sure. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but there's a reason that I'm endorsed by the firemen, throughout the state, and have their support, because I understand firsthand. I've seen them fight fires on my own land, back behind the dam there.
Right.
We had a right next to us had a, how it goes out. Crazy heat and it's dry, and tractor sets a fire, and all of a sudden you got the big issue. And I've seen firsthand what it looks like, and it's not something that people walk into easy. But these, especially these volunteers, there's a golf tournament going on over at Weatherford today to try to help support Thomas Fire Department. The things that they've got to do, and I'm trying to make sure that we can help them. One of the things that I've really focused on is working with them on how to get equipment, because the process and that all the hoops they've got to jump through to try to get equipment, sometimes when good equipment's available, especially good trucks, brush trucks and things like that, by the time they get there and can get through all the hoops, that truck's been long gone. And so trying to expedite that process to when they see equipment that they need that's available for something that they can afford, it really makes a big difference. So.
It does. Well, Mr. Moore, I'm out of time, and I have to go to break, come back, do my Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and it's been a pleasure for you to be on, my pleasure for you coming on my show today. How's that? And
I really appreciate you having me on, and let's do this more often, talk
yeah.
about what's going on.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm all about it. I like having people on you on here. That are on the government side, but also understand, because you was one on the other side, and maybe one of these days you can come on here on your legal as a lawyer and talk about farmers and ranchers or landowners or mineral owners, let's put it that way, mineral people that have mineral owners, minerals under their land, talk to them about, hey, what to watch out, and just something, because there's a lot of good oil companies out there or mineral people out there, but there's always one in the basket that tries to get some stuff done. And if you don't use an attorney to do your contracts with your minerals, maybe you got something to help them out with.
Got to make sure to take care of people, and that's my goal here.
Don't be afraid to reach out, and everybody go out and vote next Tuesday. Be a part of the, if you're not, you know, what's the old saying? If you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem.
So, yeah, that's right.
Exercise your right.
Exercise your right. Matter of fact, after the show today, that's where I'm going. So I'm doing the early part. So anyway, well, you have a great weekend, and God bless you, and good luck next week.
Yeah, bless y'all too. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
See you later. That was Anthony Moore, and I'm Jimmy Clark, and today an Ag is on right now, and we'll be right back after this.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 21st, we sold 751 cow foals and calves. Thursday, June the 23rd, we sold 2,155 calves and feeders for a total of 2,906 cattle for the week. We will have one more week of sales. We will be closed Tuesday, July the 5th, and no sale Thursday, July the 7th. Extremely good cow market. Tuesday, better killing cows, 91 to 98.50. Fin cows bring 75 to 86. Bulls bring 102 up to 123.50. 2 to 8 year old bred cows, 1150 to 1210. With our 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1700 to 1825. 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1350 to 1425. 9 and older pairs, 1125 to 1235. We sold 45 old cows. We split. They were thin, barely medium flesh. They bring 80 and a half. The calves weighed 150 to 350 pounds. They netted for the old pair, $14.45, no teeth. Hunter steer cattle, extremely good market on steers. Steers up to 5 higher, heifers up to 10 higher. 3 to 350 weight steers, 220, 221. 4 to 450, 184 to 212. 5 to 550, 176 to 177. 6 to 650, 167 to 177.5. 7 to 750, 162 to 166. 8 to 850, 161 to 166.5. 9 to 950, 150 to 159, and 1,000, 1,050-pound steers, 135 to 147.50. The average price there on over 1,000 pounds, 146.35. Water heifers, 4 to 450 heavers, 176 to 186. 5 to 550, 166 to 176. 6 to 650, 154 and a half to 171. 7 to 750, 155 to 166. 8 to 850, 142 to 154.75. And our 9 to 1,000-pound heifers, 122 to 129. Extremely good market all the way through. For this Tuesday, June the 28th, we will have 45 black pairs, 7 years old, running back with a bull. We also got 30 other bred cows, more by sale time. Again, sales this Tuesday and Thursday, no sale Tuesday, July the 5th, no sale Thursday, July the 7th. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
.103 in Sealing, Oklahoma. .102 in Altus. .101 in Hollis. .100 in Hobart. .100 in, I think that, yeah, Mangum. That is the, it's hot. Camargo's .103 now. .101 in Canadian. .100 in Wheeler. .101 in Shamrock, Texas. So she's warm. Let's see what the Long Ranger forecast, because there's more thunderstorms showing up. There's slight chances, but hey, that means there's a chance. Today, 102. We're almost there. Tomorrow, 101. Tomorrow night, the cold front moves through. Chance of rain is 30% now. It was 20 this morning, now it's 30. Sunday, 82 degrees. Sunday night, 60 degrees. Open the windows up and let the cool air come in. 20% chance of storms Sunday night. Monday, 82 for a high. Now we have a 20% chance of thunderstorms Monday night. And Tuesday, we have a chance for rain all day. Slight chance, but it's 20%, but a high of 85. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. What else is going on in the world we need to know? All right. You can go back and listen to me on KCOFM.com or on Facebook, but grilled beef, summer squash, and onion salad. It's good. You need two strips, steaks, boneless. You need some vinegar, some olive oil, some garlic, salt and pepper, garlic pepper seasoning, some a red onion, a yellow squash, a medium zucchini, and some mixed salad greens. And cook those steaks up the way you like them. Strip them down into strips, long strips, and do whatever you want to do with your okra, or not your okra, but your squash and your, what we do is we take oil, olive oil, and put them in the pan, Sandy does, and puts them in the oven, and we bake the onions and the squash, and we usually have potatoes with them, but this, you don't have to have potatoes with them on this one, and bake them in there for 45 minutes to an hour at 350, and then put these strips of steak on there with some green salad. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, that's something for you to think about cooking this weekend, because I think I'm going to give it a whirl, because I got to go pick up some beef today for our house, and I'm going to try some out this weekend. It's going to be all good. So anyway, there's your give you a recipe to think about this weekend. I know you think it sounds good. Okay, let me open this tab up. Bad news for Texas, and I'm not talking about their recruiting at Texas University, but anyway, Texas hay season looks pretty bleak, according to the AgriLife Extension Livestock Specialist, Joe Parshall from Corpus Christi, and I was thinking food, all right? Dry weather and high temperatures reduced inputs like fertilizer has inhibited warm season grass production across much of Texas. Hay quantity and quality are down, and while the cost to produce bales is up, and weather forecasts are not looking good. If you guys took a peek at the U.S. Drought Monitor in the last few days, the biggest part of Texas is under D2, D3, some worse, and it's not good. They're going through a drought. We were lucky we got some rain, but I think we're turning around backwards ourselves. Rain cubes are $400 a ton. Hay bales are that were $50-$60 last year, now bringing $75 and $80, and I foresee them to keep going up if something don't happen. And some cattle producers around the state have been culling their herds deeper to reduce stocking rates and mouths to feed, but many more are facing declining grazing and tightening hay supplies and below average bale production this season. It's not good. People are baling, but it looks like the hay season could be one cutting, maybe two. There is hay being fed now, so the hay situation could get tough. They said grazing conditions were spotty and mirrored scattered rainfall in south central Texas near Del Rio and back in that area down south. I've got some, but like I said, if you want to see the real picture, get on the U.S. Drought Monitor and look at the southern plains, which includes Oklahoma. And you'll see that red spot up here north of Elk City, or actually north of Camargo up there, southwest or southeast of Woodward. There's an area right there that's in the big red area. And one of my buddies was driving through there yesterday, and he said it looked worse than what ours did before we got the rain. So anyway, you guys plan on, you're listening, plan on out there in Texas to tight supplies, and it's my recommendation you get the hay you do get, test it, to know what you're getting, because you're going to pay for it. And, you know, it's just going to be a pretty rough year out there. So, anyway, and if you are putting any herbicides down, spray early in the morning. Because, well, I haven't had any dews over at my house, and I live along the river. So, spray early in the morning. Herbicides aren't too good when you spray them in the heat of the day, so it doesn't take very good effect. But you guys have a great weekend. I love you all. And this is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And God bless.